morning. What a gray, what a wet, what a dreary Sunday morning to gather. But as the psalmist wrote, and as Mama says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa. I'm the lead pastor here at Midland First. And whether you're in the sanctuary or in your homes joining us on the live stream, we're grateful to gather with you. And I welcome you on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship this morning. We have a number of announcements we want to highlight for you as we begin our time in worship. So I'm going to begin by handing things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who serves as our associate pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I have an announcement for you about Trunk or Treat, which is next Sunday from 5 to 6:30 in the parking lot. And we welcome you to come dressed in costume if you wish and have a fun time of trunk or treating. If you would like to bring a trunk or to bring candy, please call the office and let us know. You are more than welcome to do so. And we are excited to have that fun event together. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Yes, so great opportunity for our families, great opportunity to interact with our community, and I believe a great opportunity to interact with Trinity Lutheran, whom we are sharing this event with. So a great day coming up this coming Sunday. Also, speaking of next Sunday, 11:15 to 12:15, the Strategic Leadership Council will be hosting a town hall. All are invited to participate in this gathering. Topics will include giving through the church's endowment, an initial overview of the church's 2026 general fund budget, an update from the New Way Forward Task Force, and also an introduction to a new program we're beginning here at the church called Creating a Culture of Renewal. There's a lot of other details in the e-blast. Encourage you to access that weekly email from the church office for more details. These gatherings, these town halls, are a vital means of communication in our church's leadership, so invite you to that time together. Also for today, I invite you to take note that we are starting our stewardship campaign. This is a time that we set aside as a congregation to consider and dedicate our giving back to God through the church in the coming year. And so we'll attend to this over the next 3 weeks. This will culminate in our Loyalty Sunday on November 2nd, when all will be invited to brunch after worship in the fellowship hall. If you're a member of the congregation, please look for the stewardship campaign mailing that was sent out this week. If you didn't receive it, I invite you to contact the church office that you might receive that information from the church. If you happen to be a guest today, or perhaps this is your first time worshiping with us, or one of the first times that you're gathering with us, while I understand where your response might be, here we go again, the church asking for money. I hope that you'll find that this time is more than just about money and more about our members' commitment to sharing and the church's purpose and mission and vision, and that you might get a sense of what God is doing here through these coming 3 weeks. Know that we are glad that you are with us here, and I hope that over the next 3 weeks, you'll also find this time in worship to be inspiring. With all this, there is a lot more going on in the life of the church, and so I encourage you to be checking your weekly e-blast from the church office.
Please remain standing and join me in the call to worship. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? Help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber.
He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
Brothers and sisters, it's a really gray day outside. Pastor Jeremy's absolutely right. So what I'm going to ask you to do is take your hands and go like this. Stay with me now. Ready? On four, we're all going to clap together. One, two, three. All right, I am giving you permission to clap and move during this song. Because now you've all proven you can do it. Whenever you're ready, Chris.
Have all the children come forward? Woo! You think we're going to see a rainbow today? What do you think? You think we will, Nora? What do you think? You think we're going to see a rainbow, Alec? Maybe? Good morning, Katie. No, not today. You don't think so? Do any of you guys remember where the book of Genesis is in the Bible? Is it in the Old Testament or is it in the New Testament? Does anybody remember? So if we do halfway through is about the middle of the Bible. What if I told you it's toward the beginning of the Bible? The Old Testament, yep. So today we are going to do some wanderings. We're going to wonder about somebody who finds himself wrestling during the night. Has anybody woken up and found themselves wrestling with somebody during the middle of the night?
No.
How would you guys feel about that? I wonder how you guys might feel. And where do you think God might have been during all this? Well, we're going to explore the answers to that in the book of Genesis today in 32, 20 through 31. And we are going to do a quick prayer. Are you guys ready? On your feet, please. What do you guys want to pray about? On your feet, please. Thank you. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to please bless this group of rambunctious and full of energy children as we explore in Sunday school and do some wonderful wanderings as we discover your Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right. Come on, baby. We're going to run.
As we continue in our worship, we're going to share in a stewardship campaign moment. And for that, we will have Chuck Link, our church's treasurer, providing an overview of this year's budget as well as the coming years. Chuck?
Good morning. As Pastor Africa said, I am here to address the congregation on the first of two stewardship campaigns. I thought I'd start by giving an update of our financial situation for 2025. In February of this year, we addressed our 2025 budget at a town hall meeting. Our budget was showing $266,000 deficit. As of September 30th, we are in much better shape. Our total income for this year is up $66,307 over the budgeted amount. Our expenses are down $78,927 for the budgeted expenses. We are $145,234 better than our budgeted deficit. So that's a good thing. This is due to the congregation's generosity throughout the year. We thank you very much. As far as expenses, much of the savings is due to the fact that we have several key staff positions that remain vacant. We are still working on this issue. However, there is another reason for the savings, and that is your church's leadership teams. I can tell you that all of these teams are under their budgeted amounts. Thank you all of the teams for all your hard work and dedication. As for the 2026 stewardship campaign, let me begin with a few numbers. We are needing a budget of $1,580,000 for expenses for the year, which includes the additional staff needed. As far as income, we estimate $600,000 from the church's endowment and $30,000 from other sources. Therefore, we estimate the total giving needed from the congregation for 2026 will be $950,000. This, I believe, can be achieved because of our loving and caring congregation. You will be receiving a letter, or have already received a letter, from Pastor Africa this week addressing the stewardship campaign. There will be an estimate of giving card inserted. There will also be instructions as to electronic giving. Let us all strive to help people know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening and for your prayerfully considering your giving for 2026.
Thank you, Chuck. As we come to a time of offering this morning, I want to invite you first to sign the red friendship pads in your pews and to pass them down. And to see who you're sitting with, if you don't yet know. We love to know who's here. We love to get to know our neighbors. And so we invite you to do that. And then I also invite you to reflect on the gifts that God has blessed you with and how we can use our gifts to bless others. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand for the doxology.
Indeed, God, we do give you praise for every good gift that you have given to us, whether it be monetary gifts or other gifts and talents. We praise you, and we pray that you would use all of them to your honor and glory and to build up your kingdom and your church. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning, you may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 13, verses 33 through 35. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Dear children, I will only be with you a little longer. As I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you. Should you love each other? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before we get into the sermon, just want to note kind of a Holy Spirit moment for me this morning. Gabrielle invited us to clap along to the opening song. I'm so glad she did it on a Sunday where we had the bell choir up front, keeping me on rhythm, and Nathan up front. I love clapping during songs and praising in that way, but I always end up on a syncopated beat, not meaning it, so I appreciate how the Spirit is bringing together our worship this morning. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the rhythm of our worship be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. According to the Lewis Center for Church Leadership, 25% of churches representing 24% between 2018 and 2023. As a congregation, we know firsthand the impact of these losses. This past May, the United Methodist Church unveiled a new vision statement for the denomination. This vision statement does not replace our church's own mission statement of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ, nor does it replace the denomination's mission statement, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Instead, this new vision statement, which you see on the screen, helps us name who we are as United Methodists. This new vision statement paints a picture of who we hope to become as the United Methodist Church as we step forward into this next chapter of our life together as a denomination. So this past May, the denomination unveiled its new vision statement. The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. To help us embrace this as our own, I invite you to read that statement along with me. The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. With the unveiling of this new vision statement this past spring, I proposed to our church's leaders that we would use it as our theme for the 2026 stewardship campaign. After all, as we individually and collectively as a congregation consider our giving back to God in the coming year, I'm hoping this vision statement might instill in us a sense of what we're contributing to by supporting the church with our presence, with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness as we covenant to do so through our membership vows. Therefore, the first attribute within this new vision statement that we'll focus on this first Sunday of the stewardship campaign, is to love boldly. Indeed, in sitting down with his disciples before the Passover celebration and before his betrayal and death, Jesus said to them, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simple enough, yes? Pastor, bow your head, say amen, and let's go. But ask yourself for a moment, why did Jesus need to give his disciples this commandment? Why did Jesus have to give us this new commandment? Could it be that the disciples had not yet learned the seemingly remedial lesson? After all, they had argued amongst themselves and several times who was the greatest. Or could it be that Jesus understood that even amongst themselves, this was not always going to be easy? That their love for one another would be strained, and that at times their love for one another would take a great deal of intentionality. After all, moments before unveiling this new commandment, what had taken place? Judas had stepped out of the room to betray Jesus. The fact of the matter is, there are times when loving one another is a choice that requires boldness. When loving one another requires courage, and it requires resolve, and it requires a willingness to be vulnerable. If this were not so, perhaps we wouldn't have so many idioms or so many sayings about how difficult it is just to get along. For example, if you're a member of the congregation, you might remember the name Ruth Farrell. Reverend Farrell was our facilitator this past winter that we worked with through the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center. And she often used a term that I had not yet heard until I met her. This term being Midwest nice. In other words, churches or people in general in our region have a unique way of playing nice with one another. Of sometimes just doing the bare minimum to get along or to stay connected. In her words, they are being Midwest nice. Or another example is through my marriage with Cara, who is from North Carolina. I've learned that blessings one's heart isn't necessarily meant as a blessing. Yes? Well, he tried making that barbecue sauce without a recipe. Bless his heart. Or, you know, she thinks she's the smartest in the room. Bless her heart. You know, they may be from a different region of our country, but in the end, all they're doing is being Midwest nice. But being Midwest nice and blessing one another's hearts in that way won't change the world. Bold love changes the world. The fact of the matter is, even in the church, even within a faith community, loving one another is not always easy. As one of your pastors, I recognize that I'm not always easy to love. And I'm saying this as one of your pastors. I recognize that my personality can come across sometimes as a bit quirky. And I recognize that I make decisions sometimes that you might not agree with. Please be gentle with your amens right now. And as a pastor, here and in all my steps along the way, I've attended too many church meetings to ever believe that loving one another is always easy. So much so that I'm going to try something bold this morning. Let's see if we as a congregation can give one another permission to struggle at times with loving one another. Now, I don't advise that you do this turning to the person who's sitting next to you. There's a good chance that you may have come to church with them. If you're joining us on the live stream, please be very careful with this next step. But instead, for those of us here in the sanctuary, I invite you to turn to the person in front of you and say to them, "It's not always easy to love one another." All right, now I'm gonna try to break decades of training here. But I need you to turn around. Some of you have already been doing that, and turn to the person behind you and say, "It's not always easy to love one another." Go ahead, turn around and say so. It's not always easy to love one another. So why do it? Why love one another? Because Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Perhaps more than any other time that I've been in ministry, I believe this to be true. As he loved us, we should love one another. By this, everyone will know that we are his. And because of this, others will be drawn to what is so good about God's love, being loved, and being loved by God. During the school year, I sit in the hearth room here at the church with a group of people at 9:30 on Wednesday morning. And there's nothing exclusive about this group. It's the church's Wednesday morning Bible study, and all are invited to it. Using a curriculum, we look at the headlines and events of today and share conversation about them, looking at these events and at these headlines through the lens of our faith. And some of these lessons are a bit lighthearted, touching upon more easier topics of the day, but others of them touch upon the more sensitive topics, including politics. being forthright at the start last year, this Bible study probably played being Midwest nice. Careful not to venture too far out or too far away from the middle. But then, little by little, over the course of the past school year and into the fall, from time to time, we expressed our individual views. And I have a general sense, likely along with others in the group, that we're not always in agreement with one another. That we're not all aligned in our view of the world. That we're not all aligned in our politics. Or even our theological understandings. Understandings related to God's relationship with us, our relationship with one another, and our relationship with God. But the sense I walk away with quite often is that God is doing something amazing in that Bible study. Just as I believe that God is doing something equally amazing in our small groups here in the church, and on ministry teams, and in choirs, and in our congregation as a whole. Because we're not all aligned, are we? We don't share in the same politics. We don't share sometimes the same theology or our worship preferences. We are not all alike in our life experiences or our socioeconomic status, our ages, our nations of origin, or our race. Perhaps even in our sexuality or understanding of it. And yet, even though sacred space such as this is getting harder to find, as a church, we are choosing to love boldly. We are choosing to love one another. And in choosing to love one another, we are discovering how God loves us, and others are noting that we are followers of Jesus Christ because we do love one another. Amen. Friends, as we gather together in prayer, you'll note inside our bulletin that we are extending our sympathies to a number of families today. We do extend our sympathies to the family of Joanne Brines, who passed away on October 11th. Joanne's services will be here on Saturday, October 25th, with visitation at 10 a.m. until her time of service at 11 a.m. We also want to extend sympathies to Deb and Steve Morgenstern, their sons Rob and Dan, and their families on the death of Deb's father, Bob Krause, who passed away on October 12th. And we also extend our sympathies to the family of Sherry Mosier, who passed away on October 14th. Sherry's service will be here tomorrow, October 20th, with visitation at 9 a.m. until the time of her service at 11 a.m. I invite us to be mindful of these families as we pray together today. Let us pray. God, thank you for sending Jesus to walk among us and to show us the way that is good, that leads to your grace in this life and in the life to come. God, as we step into this brief season of our stewardship campaign and we consider what it is we are contributing to as members of this congregation and as members of this, your church, we praise you for the example of Jesus, who has shown us what it is to love boldly. Indeed, O God, within the rhythm of your church, there are times to celebrate, and there are times that fill our hearts with joy. There are times when we walk alongside one another through life's trials and through our losses. And even still, within all of these times and all of these seasons, there are times where it is difficult to love one another. Times when it is difficult to cast the benefit of the doubt where there is misunderstanding. Times when differences lead to frustrations. Frustrations lead to disconnect and discontent. Disconnect leads to discontentment. God, in those moments, stir within us to love boldly. And when we extend that grace to one another, may you shine through. May you be glorified. And may others be drawn to what is so good about your love. Thank you, God, for casting this vision about who we might be as your church. God, as we gather together on prayer with prayers this day, we do lift up the family of Joanne Brines. We celebrate her ministry among us and how her faithfulness is written into the story of your church. We pray for the Morgenstern family, the Krauss family. We come alongside them in their loss. And we pray that you would comfort them, even the youngest amongst them, to understand the hope that we all still hold. And God, we lift the family of Sherry Mosier to you. We thank you for your grace in Sherry's life that opened her heart to so many and allowed them to know what it is to be loved. God, we lift all of this to you, knowing that you are good, knowing that you have taught us how to love one another. And so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we end our time in worship, I invite us to turn to page 547 in the hymnal, or to turn to the screen in front of us as we sing our closing hymn, O Church of God United, we will sing all four verses. I invite you to stand as you are able. I've been married for 21 years. And if you're standing next to your spouse and elbowing them because you're saying, see, he knows how many years he's been married, just know that I did the math before the service. But I've been married for 21 years, and I'd love to say that loving one another is reflexive at this time and always easy between my spouse and I. But I know myself too well. And that sometimes love is a choice. That loving me is a choice. And it requires boldness. I hope that you will take this week to think about somebody whom it is difficult to love. It might be somebody in our church. It might be somebody in your family. It might be somebody in our community. But I would invite you to extend to them in a purposeful way a measure of kindness. Because the more we flex this muscle to love boldly, the stronger our witness. Amen. Amen.